Welcome. We've dedicated our entire album cover to any person who has ever sent us fan mail. This is the journey into life, love, and music.
Fan mail.
We'd like to thank you for your support. And
fan
just
mail.
Like you.
Just like you.
Get lonely too.
What's going on, y'all? It is the 25th anniversary of TLC's third album, Fan Mail, and I want to talk about it. So let's get started. What is up, everybody? What's going on? It's your girl, Jay, and we are back with a special edition of the show. We are talking the 25th anniversary of TLC's album, Fan Mail. I'm so excited to talk about it. Now, normally, I really don't do like anniversary album episodes or anything like that, but I've been seeing a lot of promotion that TLC has released surrounding this album, and frankly, I feel like TLC do not get their just due. I feel like they've contributed so much to this industry, so much to redefine what girl groups are, redefine what they are capable of, the things that they can talk about, the way they can look, and really kind of set off a whole generation of changes with that. And we just, people forget about them. People forget about them. So As TLC's one of their number one fans, I have to use my platform and give them their flowers when I can. So I definitely wanted to just shed some light on this album, talk about it. And maybe some people that don't know about TLC would decide to go ahead and give their music a listen. Hopefully you do. But yeah, without further ado, let's just go ahead and get started. All right. So Fan Mail, as I said, was the third studio album by TLC. It was released February 23rd, 1999 on LaFace Records, which is also Arista Records is the parent company. This album debuted at number one on the U.S. Billboard 200. It sold 318,000 copies its first week of release and spent 9 weeks at number one. It is considered at this time 6 times platinum by the RIA, and it sold 10 million copies worldwide. This is the second best selling album of TLC's, of course, behind the Diamond album and the most popular album they've ever had, Crazy, Sexy, Cool. Now, I will say also, this is the last time that Left Eye recorded with TLC. As we know, Lisa passed away from a car accident in 2002. So before they started working on their fourth album, 3D, we lost Left Eye. Now, as much as I want to give this album praises, I do want to say, I'm going to be honest, during this time, there was a lot of turmoil going on within the group. It was very public that Left Eye and Tion and Chili, Tion, like I know her, T-Boss and Chili were kind of at odds. And for a TLC fan, it was very difficult, at least for me. It was very difficult to see that. As much as I love the group, I love the group so much, I never wanted to see them, you know, publicly fight. Now, I know that probably would happen behind the scenes. I mean, we know that family sometimes fight, and even close friends sometimes fight. You don't always see eye to eye. So it wasn't a surprise that there may be a little tension within the group as, you know, it happens. But I just didn't want to see it happen in public because, you know, people come together as groups and the first thing people want to say is this person should go solo or they're not going to last or this or that. And it just creates more drama than I think should be within the group. And so to see them publicly kind of going at it in a way, it just wasn't it wasn't something that I was happy to see. And it, you know, kind of hurt my feelings as a fan. But we have to understand kind of where that all was coming from. So I will talk about that a little bit, not to damper the album and all the good music that's on it. But I have to be honest that this was the time that all this stuff was going on. So just a little bit about that. We know that TLC was not making a lot of money. Even when they won their Grammy, they were talking about, as so famously saying, you know, we don't have money. We sold all this money. I mean, we sold all these albums for Crazy, Sexy, Cool. We've done all these things, but we don't have anything to show for it. So in 1995, they ended up filing Chapter 11 bankruptcy in order to kind of reset, because there was so much going on. Like them signing their first deal, as with a lot of new artists, you sign what they call like a 360 deal, which pretty much means the label gives you all the money that you want. And you think you've made it. You think you're going to sell enough albums and do enough things to where it won't be a big deal to pay them back. But then once you start paying them back, you're realizing in the fine print, it's you owe them everything. So they may offer studio time. They may offer you cars. They may offer to pay for your tour. They may offer vocal coaches or dancers or whatever it is. But that's not gifts from the label. That's just money that you're going to have to pay them back. And a lot of artists don't know that. So TLC kind of had a deal like that. At that time, Pebbles was their manager. And it just wasn't working out. Like this contract that they signed, they realized that they weren't making any money. The amount of money they would get per album sold and then pay everybody and then have to split whatever they had left between three people just wasn't it. They weren't the millionaires that people might have thought they had been with all the success that they had with Crazy, Sexy, Cool. So they decided to kind of wait to record their third album as they kind of was trying to reset. Now, they were having all kind of issues. So Dallas wanted I wouldn't say insane. I'm not a producer, but he wanted $4.2 million in creative control on the album, which TLC at the time did not agree with. But this also is a conflict of interest because Chili was dating Dallas at this time. So it's a lot of like moving parts and things that's going on. So they have this standoff with Dallas. It takes them a while before they decide and they come to an agreement and decide they're going to come in and start working on this album. Now, Left Eye wrote and composed 8 songs for the album, and Dallas Austin rejected all of them, saying that they weren't really good enough. Left Eye talked about this in several interviews, but there's one that I know of that's in Sister to Sister magazine back in the 90s. And she kind of talked about that. She said, like, it kind of made her feel a way. Left Eye, for those of you that may or may not know, was really the creative mind behind TLC from the very beginning. And to see kind of her vision for the group or her role within that, as far as the creativity kind of dwindled down to now Dallas is saying he wants complete creative control. It just wasn't sitting right with her. And so when her songs got rejected, that was just another kind of like pin in that straw that broke the camel's back type of thing. So she was just not happy with it. And she felt like her bandmates should have her back a little bit more. And then to go on to have Chili be the one that's dating this person that you're kind of bumping heads with. It wasn't like Left Eye said, like, Chili doesn't have my back in that way. But she was like, how, like, she's dating this man. They have a child. Whose side is she going to take? You know what I'm saying? Like, I really don't have, you know, I don't have legs to stand on if Tion or T-Boz, you know, feels a certain way or doesn't completely agree with me. I don't really have, you know, legs to stand on. So during that time, this whole time of them recording the album, releasing the album, touring, it was a lot of friction going on with the group during that time. And we know that Left Eye decided to step out and record some things solo. She signed to Death Row Records, which was a shock to us all. She recorded under the name Nina, and it was just very odd for us as fans to, at least again, I say for me to see that, because I love Left Eye to death, but I didn't want to see Left Eye have to be this quote unquote Nina person in order to, you know, make music or feel like she wanted to be seen or wanted to be heard and things like that. So it was just an odd time. We all know from the TRL incident where it was supposed to be all three of them showing up and Left Eye did not show up. And T-Voz and Chili, it was hard to watch. I think someone said something about Left Eye being sick, but they alluded to that it was a lie. Like she really wasn't sick. She was just, you know, not wanting to be there. So the turmoil within the group was very, very much at an all time high. Now, even though Left Eye had those issues, she still very much wanted to be a part of TLC. She just wanted them to do the right things. She talked about the tour. So fan mail definitely was toured. And even though they were having those issues and T-Boz was sick a lot and they had to cancel more than a few of their shows because of her sickle cell, it still ended up being one of the highest grossing tours by a girl group ever. And it grossed over $72.8 million. In between that, Left Eye did talk about it in an interview that they were losing money left and right doing this tour. She felt like they should not have, or at least should not have, toured so soon, maybe. So when you're an artist, really the only way you make money is through touring, because most of the time people see you on tour, they go buy your music, you have merch that you can sell that's yours and things like that. But what people don't know is that you have to pay for that tour depending on, I guess, whatever contract you have going on. TLC was paying for that tour. They're paying for the dancers. They're paying for the tour manager. They're paying for the transportation. They're paying for the people that do the lights and the tech. They're paying for all these things, including paying the label and their regular manager. And then whatever they have left from that, then they're splitting three ways. And so Left Eye kind of talked about, you know, we're kind of bleeding money because we're paying these things. And yeah, it's a successful tour, but there are times where we are missing shows, and that's just money that we lost because we couldn't be there. And it wasn't too kind of take a shot at T-Boz. I mean, she understood that T-Boz's situation and she was sick and things like that. And it wasn't anything negative against T-Boz. She was just stating the fact that when we have to cancel these shows that we're banking on, you know, making this type of money, we still have to pay the dancers to show up. We still have to pay the tour manager. We still have to pay all these people, even though we didn't have a show, and that's where they were losing money. Left Eye goes on later on to say that she wanted her idea, because TLC was in this contract with LaFace that they just weren't really comfortable with. They had a certain amount of albums that they had to put out in order to be released from that contract. Left Eye's idea was, whether it was coming from a drama place or not, she was saying, hey, why don't we all release our own solo albums? It'll still be under TLC, but this will be a way, we have fan mail, this will be a way to have three additional albums come out and we can be released from our contract. And then we can renegotiate, we can figure out if we want to stay with a face or do our own thing or whatever it is. But this way, T-Boz gets to put her things out that she wrote. Chili, she can sing the songs she wants to sing. I get to, you know, put out the music that I really want to do. And, you know, we can all let the fans decide, you know, who sells the most. Now, maybe that part was a little shady, but other than that, her mind was to let's get these albums out. Let's give this to our fans. And then let's see what happens after that. And maybe we can move forward, because again, she felt like she was kind of shackled because she could not be as creative as she wanted to be. And if you listen to fan mail, there's not as much rap from Left Eye as it was the previous albums. And so she really wasn't heard from as much. And then to add injury to insult, some of T-Boz's poems that she was writing during that time ended up being parts of some of the songs on that album. So it was just a lot of, you know, issues going on with the group during that time. But to us, the public, we knew they were kind of fighting, but I didn't realize all that was happening until I ended up reading the articles and interviews that Left Eye talked about to kind of make it all make sense as to what was happening. That's kind of the drama story of it. So we know that happened, but above all else, Left Eye did say, no matter what, no matter how much we fight, no matter how much we bump heads, I love TLC. I love this group. These are my sisters. We will just figure it out. I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know what's going to make it, you know, fixed for all of us, but I still love these girls. I still want to be in this group. We're just at a crossroads. And I think all the members of the group kind of felt that way. They just, again, didn't know how they were going to get out of it. So again, that was the drama part. I'm done with the drama part. Let's move on to some of the accolades that fan mail had. Now, I did say that fan mail peaked at number one on the Billboard 200s. It also peaked at number one on the top R&B hip hop albums on Billboard. Some of the other places where it was highly charted was Canada, Germany, New Zealand, Taiwanese albums had them peaked at number four. UK had them number one for the R&B albums. Also, I mentioned that fan mail is 10 million copies worldwide. In the US, as I said, it went six times platinum. And besides France and Belgium, I believe everyone else was at least platinum. So Australia was platinum, Canada four times platinum, Netherlands platinum, New Zealand platinum, Switzerland platinum, and the UK is platinum. Oh, also Europe. Now, although they have sold over 10 million albums, the way certification works is you have to submit it in order for it to be certified. So Diamond would be that they sold over 10 million copies, but I don't think they've submitted it to be certified. And that's why it's not considered a Diamond album, even though it sold over 10 million copies. Now, their singles that they released were No Scrubs and Unpretty. No Scrubs really took off. No Scrubs was written by, as we know, Candy and Tiny of Escape. And it really became like an anthem for a lot of people. The women anthem, as you will. It also had a parody or like an answer song that was made by, I want to say, I can't think of their names. It was called No Pigeons. Oh yeah, they were called the Sporty Thieves. So Sporty Thieves went in the studio, used the same producer, Shakespeare, who produced No Scrubs, and they came out with like this answer song called No Pigeons. It didn't really take off as much as No Scrubs did, and No Scrubs is still being played today. Also, the video was a very, very expensive, futuristic video. A lot of people were kind of talking about why they spent so much money on that video when they were already having some money issues, you can say. And again, Left Eye just said, look, we're not, the thing is they weren't broke. They did what they needed to do or what they felt they needed to do for the art. So yeah, the videos were expensive. Waterfalls was probably one of the most expensive videos during that time. And because of that, they kind of became known for their videos. So coming back with this being their lead single for this third album, they wanted to put, you know, everything they could into making this a really big single. And it worked. But like she said, they weren't broke. They just weren't where they felt like they needed to be with having all the success that they had. They felt like they wanted and deserved more from their management and their label at that time. And it just didn't. They wanted the dollars to make sense, pretty much. The next single was, like I said, Unpretty, which was one of the songs that T-Boz, it derived from one of T-Boz's poems that she wrote. And just to note, Fan Mail, Silly Ho, I'm Being Good at Being Bad, were all promotional singles that did chart on the U.S. Billboard R&B and hip hop songs. And they wanted to release Shout as a single in the United States and then release their other song, Dear Lie, internationally. But it ended up being that Dear Lie would be what they released in the U.S. And then they had a music video for that. No Scrubs, like I said, was one of the highest ranking singles for them. It ended up ranked at number 2 on the year-end Hot 100 of 1999 for Billboard. Unpretty ended at number 20. And then Dear Lie peaked at 51 on the Billboard Hot 100. All right, let's get into these songs on the album. I'll talk about some of my favorite. But Fan Mail consisted of 17 songs, and it was an hour and 2 minutes. The intro song, Fan Mail, which is what I played in the beginning, kind of tells the story of what this album is. Now, the cool thing about this album was that it consisted of, Left Eye said, anyone that has ever written us any piece of fan mail, they wanted to thank. And as a way to thank the fans, which again, another brainchild of Left Eye, was to print their names on the inside of the CD cover. So the CD cover, most of the time you open a CD cover, it's maybe a booklet. This one just opened up to like a bigger poster of TLC. On one side, on the other side was all the songs. And, you know, it gives you all the information, who produced it, who wrote it, all this other stuff. It will have the thank yous and things like that. They call it liner notes. Sometimes on the CD cover or tape cover, each song would have the lyrics written in it. Not all the time, but sometime. But those were the joys of getting a tape or getting a CD and, you know, rushing to open it just to see what was inside the CD cover. Like, was it a booklet? Was it a poster? Was it, you know, special messages, things like that? That was truly the joy of running to the nearest record store to go get your favorite artist's music, whether, like I said, tape or CD. But this one opened up to a really big poster, and it had, I never counted how many names, but it has to be over maybe 300 to 400 names on this. And it's probably more than that, but all these names written in red, super tiny, and it just filled up the whole poster. And if you like hold the poster out, you really couldn't see the names. It just looked like TLC with, you know, slight little red lines going through it, which kind of like played to the whole futuristic type of vibe they had going on with. So it looked like a digital type of picture that was kind of distorted a little bit, which is pretty cool. But you get it up close and you see is all these names. And so I'm like, I know I wrote them some letters back in the day, especially very, very early on in TLC's career when they first came out. You know, we didn't have email or anything like that. Like the internet that we did have was very, very limited. And when they came out, I don't even think we had real internet. I'm trying to think when AOL came out, but my memory's not that great. But we didn't have a way to connect with our artists the way that we have it now. So the way you would connect with your artist is write them fan mail. And normally, if you wrote a piece of fan mail, they would sometimes send you some promotional things, maybe a single, maybe some music, maybe like a poster or something. Just to say thank you for, you know, contacting whoever or whatever, here's some swag or whatever. And so I wrote them a lot, like handwriting, snail mail, you know, write the letter, you know, fold it up, put it in an envelope, get a stamp and mail it off. And you may or may not hear from them. And it wasn't very often that I got anything back. So hearing that, you know, when we get this album, it's going to have names in it, I was just like, is there a possibility that my name is in here? Because I know that I wrote. I wrote them a lot. Now, this is 1999 when this came out. I don't exactly remember where I was. I feel like I had my own apartment by then. I don't remember for certain. I do know I was in college. It was my junior year. And I want to say I was living off campus, but I honestly don't remember. What I do remember is going to get that CD and running back home and like searching through these names. I'm dating myself, I know, but do y'all remember in A Christmas Story, the one that plays like 50 million times during Christmas, it has Ralphie and, you know, he just wants this BB gun. I don't know if y'all remember that movie, but in this movie, Ralphie is listening to the radio and he has this like special, decoder that he got out of, what was it? Is it Nesquik? Ovaltine. Like this Ovaltine thing. Like they came with, like they used to put prizes and stuff. So in that Ovaltine, I guess he had this decoder that if you listen to the radio, you would get like, you can be a special detective and get all this stuff. So he had this decoder and he's listening to the radio and he's writing down the clues and then he has to take the decoder and, you know, figure out what the words mean. So he gets that, he runs in the bathroom, locks the door, and he's just like, really, oh, this is A, this is T or whatever. Like he's so excited. That was me. That was me when I got that CD with my grown adult self at that time, a junior in college. I get that CD, I run home and I'm like, okay, nobody bother me, even though I was living by myself, I think at that time. Maybe I had roommates. I don't remember again where I was, but open that CD and I'm just like, I'm scanning. I don't see it. I'm scanning. And then I finally see it and I lose my mind. Man, do I lose my mind. Full government name right there. So I knew that was me because I was like, there could be another person in the world with my name, but I'm saying it's me. And I don't care if there is another person with my same name that just happened to be a fan of TLC that wrote them tons of fan mail. I'm going to say it's me. I didn't use my middle initial. I should have when I wrote them, but I wasn't thinking at the time. I was like 15 or whatever when I started writing them letters. So, yeah, I saw my name. I lost my mind. I was so excited, so happy. And that was just probably, I felt after all the time and all the like, all the years that I had loved TLC and I had been such a big fan, huge fan of theirs, that they finally saw me. There, although there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of names on that thing, my name just became so big. And I was like, look at that. TLC gave me a shout out. Like I'm somebody now, you know what I'm saying? So it was really actually a very smart tactic. If you think about it, think about all the fans you have and you want albums to sell, right? So what better way? Because we didn't really have, were we downloading stuff during that time? We might've had Napster. I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure we probably had Napster and those what did they call them? Well, places you can go to download music, but it just wasn't super popular to where you weren't buying anything. You still wanted to go get albums. So to think about that, you've been a lifelong fan of TLC since they came out in 92, 93, and you hear that your name could possibly be in this album. And it could be anybody, the hundreds of millions of fans that they have, anybody's name could be in there. So what better way to ensure that you're going to get these albums sold is to say their name may be in this album. and we go and buy the album. I was going to go buy it anyway, but it's just an extra incentive because that's not going to be on the internet. I can't get that from Napster. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't physically hold that in my hand and circle my name and say that's my name. So I thought it was a very good, actually, idea as a way to promote the album and, you know, get it some sales. So shout out to Left Eye for that idea. Now, one quick thing before I forget. While TLC was recording Fan Mail, they were offered several songs, as most artists are. Three songs, though, that they decided to pass on because they didn't feel like it fit the group, turned out to be big hits for other artists. Now, these songs are Where My Girls At, that obviously we know 702 had a big hit with that. And Left Eye was actually going to give that song to Black, which was her new group at that time, but ended up not getting it or not using it. And Missy got it and gave it to 702. Heartbreak Hotel, which we know the great Whitney Houston sang that with Kelly Price and Faith Evans. And then the biggest hit of all, Baby One More Time, which went to Britney Spears, that just launched her whole career. So that's crazy to think about that they ended up passing on, but they felt like they weren't songs that fit them. And you couldn't tell me that's where My Girls At wasn't meant for 702 or Baby One More Time wasn't meant for Britney Spears. So it's funny how those things work out like that. But I thought that was a pretty cool thing to let you guys know in case you didn't know that. So let's get into some of my favorite songs off this album. I'm going to say one of my favorite songs on this album is I'm Good at Being Bad, only because it's just so funny the way this song is. It starts off very sweet and serene. You know, Chilli is singing. And then, you know, the beat drops and here comes Left Eye rapping and then T-Boz is singing. I just love the way the song goes from very soft to very hard. And then if you listen to the words, it's pretty funny because she sounds sweet, but she's talking mad noise. So let's hear a little bit of I'm Good at Being Bad.
Sing the sweet sad songs of love.
That's so pretty, girl.
As we walk hand in hand, just kicking up sand, as the ocean lands at our feet. I'm in your arms, and all of your charms are for me.
Not for me.
Check it. I need a chrome type nigga, mace and the figures, laced with the platinum, not the same shit nigga. X still bigger, 10 inch or bigger. Know how to lick it and stick a what? Now don't get me wrong, cause I'm not a hoe. I know what I got, you can handle those. It's on the rim, nigga, what? You don't know, so what you gonna do? What you gonna do, nigga? You must be crazy.
That's right.
What you gonna do with a bitch like me?
Like me.
So good at being bad.
So funny. Like, who, like, how do you take a song like that and just like gut punch people? Like, I'm good at being bad. Like, I don't need no help. I'm good with that. Another song that I really, really like on here is I Miss You So Much. It is a ballad. Is heavy on the Chilli. And it's just, I enjoy ballads, but I also, when you think about the beginning of TLC, it was very T-Boz heavy and Chilli would mainly sing the hooks. So anytime I got to hear like Chilli fully, I enjoyed those songs. I feel like she has a really good voice, but also this was kind of like a sentimental type of ballad, so I enjoy it. So let's hear a little bit of I Miss You So Much.
I never asked for this feeling. I never thought I would fall. I never knew how I felt till the day you were gone. I was gone.
Such a pretty ballad, don't you agree? Really like that song. Another favorite song of mine is called Silly Ho. Again, it's just like quintessential TLC to me. It's just, they hit you in the face with just, we're going to talk about what we want to talk about the way we want to talk about, and we don't care if it's trendy or not. And I just thought it was just a fun way. This song is just fun to me. So let's check out Silly Ho. A fun song, right? I have a couple of other favorite songs, but I'm just going to get to the nitty gritty. My favorite song on this album is it's called Don't Pull Out On Me Yet. It's self-explanatory. So let's hear a little bit of Don't Pull Out On Me Yet. Such a sensual song, right? Very reminiscent of Red Light Special. Do y'all agree? I feel like it gave a nod to old school TLC, what T-Boz would come in singing. And like I said, the main verse, and then Chili comes in with the hook. But it just reminds me of like the journey that TLC, you know, took from the beginning till this album, and it just feels good to me. It's just a good song. Even though the subject matter is a little adult, I still feel like it was a good song, and I was a full adult when this album came out, so it's fine, right? But that's all I have, y'all. I want y'all to please, if you have not heard it, go listen to Fan Mail. Go listen to at least a few songs. Give them some streams. TLC deserves the world. TLC deserves all the accolades they can get. I feel like they are the forgotten group when they are indeed the best selling female group of all time in the U.S. and worldwide behind the Spice Girls. And for them to have achieved so much, and it's like crickets now, like they deserve better. They deserve all the Lifetime Achievement Awards. They deserve all the tributes. They deserve everything, and they deserve much, much love from, you know, the fans and people alike. So I'm going to get off my soapbox. I'm going to leave y'all with the rest of Don't Pull Out On Me Yet, or at least a little bit as we go out. And shout out to TLC. Shout out to TLC for being the group that they are and impacting my life the way they have and still continue to. So Shout out to y'all. Shout out to y'all listening. I appreciate it. Talk to y'all later. Peace out.